as they tried to discern the whispers that rippled across the throne room. My knees bent slightly as they approached. With sharp jabs and blunt shoves, the red-skinned guards forced the three fairies to their knees at the foot of the dais, but facing me. Their bodies and clothes revealed nothing of who they were. Amarantha clapped her hands again, and three servants clad in black appeared at the side of each of the kneeling fairies. In their long, pale hands, they each carried a dark velvet pillow, and on each pillow lay a single polished wooden dagger. Not metal for a blade, but ash. Ash, because... "Your final task, Feyre," Amarantha drawled, gesturing to the kneeling fairies. "Stab each of these unfortunate souls in the heart." I stared at her, my mouth opening and closing. "They're innocent. Not that it should matter to you," she went on, "since it wasn't a concern the day you killed Tamlin's poor sentinel. And it wasn't a concern for dear Jurian when he butchered my sister. But if it's a problem, well, you can always refuse. Of course, I'll take your life in exchange, but a bargain's a bargain, is it not? If you ask me, though, given your history with murdering our kind, I do believe I'm offering you a gift." Refuse and die. Kill three innocents and live. Three innocents, for my own future, for my own happiness, for Tamlin and his court, and the freedom of an entire land. The wood of the razor-sharp daggers had been polished so expertly that it gleamed beneath the colored glass chandeliers. "Well?" she asked. She lifted her hand, letting Jurian's eye get a good look at me, at the ash daggers, and purred to it. "I wouldn't want you to miss this, old friend." I couldn't. I couldn't do it. It wasn't like hunting. It wasn't for survival or defense. It was cold-blooded murder. The murder of them, of my very soul. But for Prithian, for Tamlin, for all of them here, for Alice and her boys, I wished I knew the names of our forgotten gods so that I might beg them to intercede. Wished I knew any prayers at all to plead for guidance, for absolution. But I did not know those prayers or the names of our forgotten gods. Only the names of those who would remain enslaved if I did not act. I silently recited those names, even as the horror of what knelt before me began to swallow me whole. For Prithian, for Tamlin, for their world and my own, these deaths would not be wasted, even if it would damn me forever. I stepped up to the first kneeling figure, the longest and most brutal steps I'd ever taken. Three lives in exchange for Prithian's liberation, three lives that would not be spent in vain. I could do this. I could do this even with Tamlin watching. I could make this sacrifice. Sacrifice them. I could do this. My fingers trembled, but the first dagger wound up in my hand, its hilt cool and smooth, the wood of the blade heavier than I'd expected. There were three daggers because she wanted me to feel the agony of reaching for that knife again and again, wanted me to mean it.
"Not so fast."
Amarantha chuckled, and the guards who held the first kneeling figure snatched the hood off its face. It was a handsome high fey youth. I didn't know him. I'd never seen him, but his blue eyes were pleading.
"That's better," Amarantha said, waving her hand again. "Proceed, Feyre dear. Enjoy it."
His eyes were the color of a sky I'd never see again if I refused to kill him. A color I'd never get out of my mind, never forget, no matter how many times I painted it. He shook his head,
those eyes growing so large that white showed all around. He would never see that sky either. And neither would these people if I failed. "Please," he whispered, his focus darting between the ash dagger and my face. "Please." The dagger shook between my fingers and I clenched it tighter. Three fairies, that's all that stood between me and freedom before Tamlin would be unleashed upon Amarantha. If he could destroy her. Not in vain, I told myself, not in vain.
"Don't,"
the fairy youth begged when I lifted the dagger.
"Don't."
I took a gasping breath, my lips shaking as I quailed. Saying I'm sorry wasn't enough. I'd never been able to say it to Andrus, and now.
"Please,"
he said, and his eyes lined with silver. Someone in the crowd began weeping. I was taking him away from someone who possibly loved him as much as I loved Tamlin. I couldn't think about it. Couldn't think about who he was, or the color of his eyes, or any of it. Amarantha was grinning with wild, triumphant glee. Kill a fairy, fall in love with a fairy, then be forced to kill a fairy to keep that love. It was brilliant and cruel, and she knew it. Darkness rippled near the throne, and then Rhysand was there, arms crossed, as if he'd moved to better see. His face was a mask of disinterest, but my hand tingled. "Do it," the tingling said.
"Don't,"
the young fairy moaned. I began shaking my head. I couldn't listen to him. I had to do it now before he convinced me otherwise.
"Please."
His voice rose to a shriek. The sound jarred me so much that I lunged. With a ragged sob, I plunged the dagger into his heart. He screamed, thrashing in the guard's grip as the blade cleaved through flesh and bone, smooth as if it were real metal and not ash, and blood, hot and slick, showered my hand. I wept, yanking out the dagger, the reverberations of his bones against the blade stinging my hand. His eyes, full of shock and hate, remained on me as he sagged, damning me. And that person in the crowd let out a keening wail. My bloody dagger clacked on the marble floor as I stumbled back several steps.
"Very good," Amarantha said.
I wanted to get out of my body. I had to escape the stain of what I'd done. I had to get out. I couldn't endure the blood on my hands, the sticky warmth between my fingers.
"Now the next. Oh, don't look so miserable, Feyre. Aren't you having fun?"
I faced the second figure, still hooded. A female this time. The fairy in black extended the pillow with the clean dagger, and the guards holding her tore off her hood. Her face was simple, and her hair was gold brown, like mine. Tears were already rolling down her round cheeks, and her bronze eyes tracked my bloody hand as I reached for the second knife. The cleanness of the wooden blade mocked the blood on my fingers. I wanted to fall to my knees to beg her forgiveness, to tell her that her death wouldn't be for naught. Wanted to, but there was such a rift running through me now that I could hardly feel my hands, my shredded heart. What I'd done.
"Cauldron, save me," she began whispering, her voice lovely and even, like music. "Mother, hold me,"
she went on, reciting a prayer similar to one I'd heard once before, when Tamlin eased the passing of that lesser fairy who died in the foyer. Another of Amarantha's victims.
"Guide me to you."
I was unable to raise my dagger, unable to take the step that would close the distance between us.
"Let me pass through the gates. Let me smell that immortal land of milk and honey. Silent tears slid down my face and neck, where they dampened the filthy color of my tunic. As she spoke, I knew I would be forever barred from that immortal land. I knew that whatever mother she meant would never embrace me. In saving Tamlin, I was to damn myself. I couldn't do this. Couldn't lift that dagger again.
Let me fear no evil, she breathed, staring at me, into the soul that was cleaving itself apart. Let me feel no pain.
A sob broke from my lips.
I'm sorry,
I moaned.
Let me enter eternity, she breathed. I wept as I understood. Kill me now, she was saying. Do it fast. Don't make it hurt. Kill me now. Her bronze eyes were steady, if not sorrowful. Infinitely, infinitely worse than the pleading of the dead fairy beside her. I couldn't do it. But she held my gaze and nodded.
As I lifted the ash dagger, something inside me fractured so completely that there would be no hope of ever repairing it. No matter how many years passed, no matter how many times I might try to paint her face. More fairies wailed now, her kinsmen and friends. The dagger was a weight in my hand shining and coated with the blood of that first fairy. It would be more honorable to refuse, to die rather than murder innocence. But?
Let me enter eternity, she repeated, lifting her chin. Fear no evil, she whispered, just for me. Feel no pain.
I gripped her delicate bony shoulder and drove the dagger into her heart. She gasped, and blood spilled onto the ground like a splattering of rain. Her eyes were closed when I looked at her face again. She slumped to the floor and didn't move. I went somewhere far, far away from myself. The fairies were stirring now, shifting, many whispering and weeping. I dropped the dagger, and the knock of ash on marble roared in my ears. Why was Amarantha still smiling, with only one person left between myself and freedom? I glanced at Rescind, but his attention was fixed upon Amarantha. One fairy, and then we were free. Just one more swing of my arm. And maybe one more after that. Maybe one more swing, up and inward, into my own heart. It would be a relief. A relief to end it by my own hand, a relief to die rather than face this, what I'd done. The fairy servant offered the last dagger, and I was about to reach for it when the guard removed the hood from the male kneeling before me. My hands slackened at my sides. Amber-flecked green eyes stared up at me. Everything came crashing down, layer upon layer, shattering and breaking and crumbling as I gazed at Tamlin. I whipped my head to the throne beside Amarantha's, still occupied by my High Lord, and she laughed as she snapped her fingers. The Tamlin beside her transformed into the Atter, smiling wickedly at me. Tricked. Deceived by my own senses again. Slowly, my soul ripping further from me, I turned back to Tamlin. There was only guilt and sorrow in his eyes, and I stumbled away, almost falling as I tripped over my feet.
Something wrong? Amarantha asked, cocking her head.
Not fair, I got out.
Reason's face had gone pale. So, so pale.
Fair, Amarantha mused, playing with Jurian's bone on her necklace. I wasn't aware you humans knew of the concept.
You kill Tamlin, and he's free.
Her smile was the most hideous thing I'd ever seen.
And then you can have him all to yourself.
My mouth stopped working.
Unless, Amarantha went on, you think it would be more appropriate to forfeit your life. After all, what's the point? To survive only to lose him.
Her words were like poison.
Imagine all those years you were going to spend together. Suddenly, alone. Tragic, really. Though a few months ago you hated our kind enough to butcher us, surely you'll move on easily enough.
She patted her ring.
Jorian's human lover did.
Still on his knees, Tamlin's eyes turned so bright, defiant.
So, Amarantha said, but I didn't look at her. What will it be, Feyre?
Kill him and save his court and my life, or kill myself and let them all live as Amarantha's slaves. Let her and the King of Highburn wage their final war against the human realm. There was no bargain to get out of this. No part of me to sell to avoid this choice. I stared at the ash dagger on that pillow.
Alice had been right all those weeks ago. No human who came here ever walked out again. I was no exception. If I were smart, I would indeed stab my own heart before they could grab me. At least then I would die quickly. I wouldn't endure the torture that surely awaited me. Possibly a fate like Jorian's. Alice had been right.
But Alice had said something. Something to help me. A final part of the curse, a part they couldn't tell me. A part that would aid me. And all she'd been able to do was tell me to listen to what I'd heard, as if I'd already learned everything I needed. I slowly faced Tamlin again. Memories flashed, one after another, blurs of color and words. Tamlin was High Lord of the Spring Court. What did that do to help me? The Great Rite was performed? No. He lied to me about everything, about why I'd been brought to the manor, about what was happening on his lands. The curse. He hadn't been allowed to tell me the truth, but he hadn't exactly pretended that everything was fine. No. He'd lied and explained as best he could, and made it painfully obvious to me at every turn that something was very, very wrong. The adder in the garden. As hidden from me as I was from it. But Tamlin had hidden me. He'd told me to stay put, and then led the adder right toward me, let me overhear them. He'd left the dining room doors open when he'd spoken with Lucien about the curse, even if I hadn't realized it at the time. He'd spoken in public places. He'd wanted me to eavesdrop. Because he wanted me to know, to listen. Because this knowledge... I ransacked each conversation, turning over words like stones. A part of the curse I hadn't grasped, that they couldn't explicitly tell me, but Tamlin had needed me to know.
Milady makes no bargains that are not advantageous to her.
She would never kill what she desired most, not when she wanted Tamlin as much as I did. But if I killed him, she either knew I couldn't do it, or she was playing a very, very dangerous game. Conversation after conversation echoed in my memory, until I heard Lucien's words and everything froze. And that was when I knew. I couldn't breathe, not as I replayed the memory, not as I recalled the conversation I'd overheard one day. Lucien and Tamlin in the dining room, the door wide open for all to hear, for me to hear.
For someone with a heart of stone, yours is certainly soft these days.
I looked at Tamlin, my eyes flicking to his chest as another memory flashed,
the Atter in the garden, laughing.
"Though you have a heart of stone, Tamlin," the Atter said, "you certainly keep a host of fear inside it."
Amarantha would never risk me killing him, because she knew I couldn't kill him. Not if his heart couldn't be pierced by a blade. Not if his heart had been turned to stone. I scanned his face, searching for any glimmer of truth. There was only that bold rebellion within his gaze. Perhaps I was wrong. Perhaps it was just a fairy turn of phrase. But all those times I'd held Tamlin, I'd never felt his heartbeat. I'd been blind to everything until it came back to smack me in the face, but not this time. That was how she controlled him and his magic. How she controlled all the High Lords, dominating and leashing them just as she kept Jurian's soul tethered to that eye and bone. "Trust no one," Alice had told me. But I trusted Tamlin, and more than that, I trusted myself. I trusted that I had heard correctly. I trusted that Tamlin had been smarter than Amarantha. I trusted that all I had sacrificed was not in vain. The entire room was silent, but my attention was upon only Tamlin. The revelation must have been clear on my face, for his breathing became a bit quicker, and he lifted his chin. I took a step toward him, then another. I was right. I had to be. I sucked in a breath as I grabbed the dagger off the outstretched pillow. I could be wrong. I could be painfully, tragically wrong. But there was a faint smile on Tamlin's lips as I stood over him, ash dagger in hand. There was such a thing as fate, because fate had made sure I was there to eavesdrop when they'd spoken in private. Because fate had whispered to Tamlin that the cold, contrary girl he'd dragged to his home would be the one to break his spell. Because fate had kept me alive just to get to this point, just to see if I'd been listening. And there he was, my High Lord, my beloved, kneeling before me. "I love you," I said, and stabbed him. Chapter 44. Tamlin cried out as my blade pierced his flesh, breaking bone. For a sickening moment, when his blood rushed onto my hand, I thought the ash dagger would go clean through him. But then there was a faint thud and a stinging reverberation in my hand as the dagger struck something hard and unyielding. Tamlin lurched forward, his face going pale, and I yanked the dagger from his chest. As the blood drained away from the polished wood, I lifted the blade. Its tip had been nicked, turned inward on itself. Tamlin clutched his chest as he panted, the wound already healing. Reason at the foot of the dais grinned from ear to ear. Amarantha climbed to her feet. The fairies murmured to one another. I dropped the blade, sending it clattering across the red marble. "Kill her now," I wanted to bark at Tamlin. But he didn't move as he pushed his hand against his wound, blood dribbling out. Too slowly. He was healing too slowly. The mask didn't fall off. "Kill her now." "She won," someone in the crowd said.
"Free them,"
another echoed. But Amarantha's face blanched, her features contorting until she looked truly serpentine. "I'll free them whenever I see fit." Feyre didn't specify when I had to free them, just that I had to. "At some point, perhaps when you're dead," she finished with a hateful smile. "You assumed that when I said instantaneous freedom regarding the riddle, it applied to the trials too, didn't you? Foolish, stupid human. I stepped back as she descended the steps of the dais. Her fingers curled into claws. Jurian's eye was going wild within the ring, his pupil dilating and shrinking.
"And you," she hissed at me. "You."
Her teeth gleamed, turning sharp.
"I'm going to kill you."
Someone cried out, but I couldn't move. Couldn't even get out of the way as something far more violent than lightning struck me and I crashed to the floor.
"I'm going to make you pay for your insolence," Amarantha snarled,
and a scream ravaged my throat as pain like nothing I had known erupted through me. My very bones were shattering as my body rose and then slammed onto the hard floor, and I was crushed beneath another wave of torturous agony.
"Admit you don't really love him and I'll spare you," Amarantha breathed,
and through my fractured vision I saw her prowl toward me.
"Admit what a cowardly, lying, and constant bit of human garbage you are."
"I wouldn't. I wouldn't say that even if she splattered me across the ground." But I was being ripped apart from the inside out, and I thrashed, unable to outscream the pain.
"Feyre!"
someone roared. No, not someone. Recent. But Amarantha still neared.
"You think you're worthy of him? A high lord? You think you deserve anything at all, human?"
My back arched and my ribs cracked one by one. Reesend yelled my name again, yelled it as though he cared. I blacked out, but she brought me back, ensuring that I felt everything, ensuring that I screamed every time a bone broke.
"What are you but mud and bones and worm meat?" Amarantha raged. "What are you compared to our kind that you think you're worthy of us?"
Fairies began calling foul play, demanding Tamlin be released from the curse, calling her a cheating liar. Through the haze, I saw Reesend crouching by Tamlin, not to help him, but to grab the...
"You are all pigs. All scheming, filthy pigs."
I sobbed between screams as her foot connected with my broken ribs, again and again.
"Your mortal heart is nothing to us."
Then Reesend was on his feet, my bloody knife in his hands. He launched himself at Amarantha, swift as a shadow, the ash dagger aimed at her throat. She lifted a hand, not even bothering to look, and he was blasted back by a wall of white light. But the pain paused for a second, long enough for me to see him hit the ground and rise again and lunge for her, with hands that now ended in talons. He slammed into the invisible wall Amarantha had raised around herself, and my pain flickered as she turned to him.
"You traitorous piece of filth," she seethed at Reesend. "You're just as bad as these human beasts."
One by one, as if a hand were shoving them in, his talons pushed back into his skin, leaving blood in their wake. He swore, low and vicious.
"You were planning this all along."
Her magic sent him sprawling, and it then hurled into Reesend again, so hard that his head cracked against the stones and the knife dropped from his splayed fingers. No one made a move to help him, and she struck him once more with her power. The red marble splintered where he hit it, spiderwebbing toward me. With wave after wave she hit him. Rhys groaned.
"Stop,"
I breathed, blood filling my mouth as I strained a hand to reach her feet.
"Please."
Rhys's arms buckled as he fought to rise, and blood dripped from his nose, splattering on the marble. His eyes met mine. The bond between us went taut. I flashed between my body and his, seeing myself through his eyes, bleeding and broken and sobbing. I snapped back into my own mind as Amarantha turned to me again.
"Stop. Stop.
Don't pretend you care, human,
she crooned and curled her finger. I arched my back, my spine straining to the point of cracking, and Reesend bellowed my name as I lost my grip on the room. Then the memories began, a compilation of the worst moments of my life, a storybook of despair and darkness. The final page came and I wept, not entirely feeling the agony of my body as I saw that young rabbit bleeding out in that forest clearing, my knife through her throat. My first kill, the first life I'd taken. I'd been starving, desperate. Yet afterward, once my family had devoured it, I had crept back into the woods and wept for hours, knowing a line had been crossed, my soul stained.
Say that you don't love him,
Amarantha shrieked, and the blood on my hands became the blood of that rabbit, became the blood of what I had lost. But I wouldn't say it. Because loving Tamlin was the only thing I had left, the only thing I couldn't sacrifice. A path cleared through my red and black vision. I found Tamlin's eyes, wide as he crawled toward Amarantha, watching me die and unable to save me while his wound slowly healed, while she still gripped his power. Amarantha had never intended for me to live. Never intended to let him go.
Amarantha, stop this,
Tamlin begged at her feet as he clutched the gaping wound in his chest.
Stop. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I said about Clithia all those years ago, please.
Amarantha ignored him, but I couldn't look away. Tamlin's eyes were so green. Green like the meadows of his estate, a shade that washed away the memories flooding through me, that pushed aside the evil breaking me apart bone by bone. I screamed again as my kneecap strained, threatening to crack in two, but I saw that enchanted forest, saw that afternoon we'd lain in the grass, saw that morning we watched the sunrise, when for a moment, just one moment, I'd known true happiness.
Say that you don't truly love him,
Amarantha spat, and my body twisted, breaking bit by bit.
Admit to your inconstant heart.
Amarantha, please,
Tamlin moaned, his blood spilling onto the floor.
I'll do anything.
I'll deal with you later,
she snarled at him, and sent me falling into a fiery pit of pain. I would never say it. Never let her hear that, even if she killed me. And if it was to be my downfall, so be it. It would be the weakness that would break me. I would embrace it with all my heart. If this was...
For though each of my strikes lands a powerful blow, when I kill, I do it slow.
That's what these 3 months had been, a slow, horrible death. What I felt for Tamlin was the cause of this. There was no cure, not pain or absence or happiness.
But scorned, I become a difficult beast to defeat.
She could torture me all she liked, but it would never destroy what I felt for him. It would never make Tamlin want her, never ease the sting of his rejection.
The world became dark at the borders of my vision, taking the edge off the pain. But I bless all those who are brave enough to dare. For so long I had run from it. But opening myself to him, to my sisters, that had been a test of bravery as harrowing as any of my trials.
Say it, you vile beast! Amarantha hissed.
She might have lied her way out of our bargain, but she'd sworn differently with the riddle. Instantaneous freedom, regardless of her will. Blood filled my mouth, warm as it dribbled out between my lips. I gazed at Tamlin's masked face, one last time.
Love,
I breathed, the world crumbling into a blackness with no end. A pause in Amarantha's magic.
The answer to the riddle,
I got out, choking on my own blood,
is love.
Tamlin's eyes went wide before something forever cracked in my spine. Chapter 45. I was far away, but still seeing. Seeing through eyes that weren't mine. Eyes attached to a person who slowly rose from his position on a cracked, bloodied floor. Amarantha's face slackened. There my body was, prostrate on the ground, my head snapped to one side at a horribly wrong angle. A flash of red hair in the crowd. Lucian. Tears shone in Lucian's remaining eye as he raised his hands and removed the fox mask. The brutally scarred face beneath was still handsome, his features sharp and elegant. But my host was looking at Tamlin now, who slowly faced my dead body. Tamlin's still masked face twisted into something truly lupine as he raised his eyes to the queen and snarled. Fangs lengthened. Amarantha backed away, away from my corpse. She only whispered, "Please," before golden light exploded. The queen was blasted back, thrown against the far wall, and Tamlin let out a roar that shook the mountain as he launched himself at her. He shifted into his beast form faster than I could see, fur and claws and pound upon pound of lethal muscle. She had no sooner hit the wall than he gripped her by the neck, and the stones cracked as he shoved her against it with a clawed paw. She thrashed, but could do nothing against the brutal onslaught of Tamlin's beast. Blood ran down his furred arm from where she scratched. The Atter and the guards rushed for the queen, but several fairies and high fae, their masks clattering to the ground, jumped into their path, tackling them. Amarantha screeched, kicking at Tamlin, lashing at him with her dark magic, but a wall of gold encompassed his fur like a second skin. She couldn't touch him.
Tam!
Lucian cried over the chaos. A sword hurtled through the air, a shooting star of steel. Tamlin caught it in a massive paw. Amarantha's scream was cut short as he drove the sword through her head and into the stone beneath. And then closed his powerful jaws around her throat and ripped it out. Silence fell. It wasn't until I was again staring down at my own broken body that I realized whose eyes I'd been seeing through. But Recent didn't come any closer to my corpse, not as rushing paws, then a flash of light, then footsteps filled the air. The beast was already gone. Amarantha's blood had vanished from his face, his tunic, as Tamlin slammed to his knees. He scooped up my limp, broken body, cradling me to his chest. He hadn't removed his mask, but I saw the tears that fell onto my filthy tunic, and I heard the shuddering sobs that broke from him as he rocked me, stroking my hair.
No,
someone breathed. Lucian, his sword dangling from his hand. Indeed, there were many high fae and fairies who watched with damp eyes as Tamlin held me. I wanted to get to Tamlin. I wanted to touch him, to beg for his forgiveness for what I'd done, for the other bodies on the floor, but I was so far away. Someone appeared beside Lucian, a tall, handsome, brown-haired man with a face similar to his own. Lucian didn't look at his father, though he stiffened as the High Lord of the Autumn Court approached Tamlin and extended a clenched hand to him. Tamlin glanced up only when the High Lord opened his fingers and tipped over his hand. A glittering spark fell upon me. It flared and vanished as it touched my chest. Two more figures approached, both handsome and young. Through my host's eyes, I knew them instantly. The brown-skinned one on the left wore a tunic of blue and green, and atop his white blonde head was a garland of roses. The High Lord of the Summer Court. His pale-skinned companion, clad in colors of white and gray, possessed a crown of shimmering ice. The High Lord of the Winter Court. Chins raised, shoulders back, they too dropped those glittering kernels upon me, and Tamlin bowed his head in gratitude. Another High Lord approached, also bestowing upon me a drop of light. He glowed brightest of them all, and from his gold and ruby raiment, I knew him to be the High Lord of the Dawn Court. Then the High Lord of the Day Court, clad in white and gold, his dark skin gleaming with an inner light, presented his similar gift, and smiled sadly at Tamlin before he walked away. Rescind stepped forward, bringing my shred of soul with him, and I found Tamlin staring at me, at us.
"For what she gave," Rescind said, extending a hand, "we will bestow what our predecessors have granted to few before."
He paused.
"This makes us even," he added,
and I felt the twinkle of his humor as he opened his hand and let the seed of light fall on me. Tamlin tenderly brushed aside my matted hair. His hand glowed bright as the rising sun, and in the center of his palm, that strange shining bud formed.
"I love you," he whispered, and kissed me as he laid his hand on my heart.
Chapter 46. Everything was black and warm and thick, inky, but bordered with gold. I was swimming, kicking for the surface where Tamlin was waiting, where life was waiting. Up and up, frantic for air. The golden light grew, and the darkness became like sparkling wine, easier to swim through, the bubbles fizzing around me, and I gasped, air flooding my throat. I was lying on the cold floor, no pain, no blood, no broken bones. I blinked. A chandelier dangled above me. I'd never noticed how intricate the crystals were, how the hushed gasp of the crowd echoed off them. A crowd, meaning I was still in that throne room, meaning I truly wasn't dead. Meaning I had killed those. I had. The room spun. I groaned as I braced my hands against the floor, readying myself to stand, but the sight of my skin stopped me cold. It gleamed with a strange light, and my fingers seemed longer where I'd laid them flat on the marble. I pushed to my feet. I felt strong and fast and sleek. And I'd become High Fae. I went rigid as I sensed Tamlin standing behind me, smelled that rain and spring meadow scent of him, richer than I'd ever noticed. I couldn't turn around to look at him. I couldn't move. A High Fae, immortal. What had they done? I could hear Tamlin holding his breath, hear as he loosed it, hear the breathing, the whispering and weeping and quiet celebrating of everyone in that hall, still watching us, watching me, some chanting praise for the glorious power of their High Lords.
It was the only way we could save you, Tamlin said softly.
But then I looked to the wall, and my hand rose to my throat. I forgot about the stunned crowd entirely.
There, beneath Claire's decayed body, was Amarantha, her mouth gaping as the sword protruded from her brow. Her throat gone, and blood now soaked the front of her gown. Amarantha was dead. They were free. I was free. Tamlin was... Amarantha was dead. And I had killed those two High Fae. I had... I shook my head slowly.
Are you... My voice sounded too loud in my ears as I pushed back against that wall of black that threatened to swallow me. Amarantha was dead.
See for yourself, he said.
I kept my eyes on the ground as I turned. There, on the red marble, lay a golden mask, staring at me with its hollow eye holes.
Vera,
Tamlin said, and he cupped my chin between his fingers, gently lifting my face. I saw that familiar chin first, then the mouth, and then... He was exactly how I dreamed he would be. He smiled at me, his entire face alight with that quiet joy I had come to love so dearly, and he brushed my hair aside. I savored the feel of his fingers on my skin, and raised my own to touch his face, to trace the contours of those high cheekbones and that lovely straight nose, the clear, broad brow, the slightly arching eyebrows that framed his green eyes. What I had done to get to this moment, to be standing here. I shoved against the thought again. In a minute, in an hour, in a day, I would think about that, force myself to face it. I put a hand on Tamlin's heart, and a steady beat echoed into my bones. I sat on the edge of a bed, and while I'd thought being an immortal meant a higher pain threshold and faster healing, I winced a good deal as Tamlin inspected my few remaining wounds, then healed them. We'd scarcely had a moment alone together in the hours that followed Amarantha's death, that followed what I had done to those two fairies. But now, in this quiet room, I couldn't look away from the truth that sounded in my head with each breath. I'd killed them, slaughtered them. I hadn't even seen their bodies being taken away. For it had been chaos in the throne room in the moments after I'd awakened. The Adder and the nastier fairies had disappeared instantly, along with Lucian's brothers, which was a clever move, as Lucian wasn't the only fairy with a score to settle. No sign of Rescind either. Some fairies had fled, while others had burst into celebration, and others just stood or paced, eyes distant, faces pale, as if they too didn't quite feel like this was real. One by one, crowding him, weeping and laughing with joy, the High Fae and fairies of the Spring Court knelt or embraced or kissed Tamlin, thanking him, thanking me. I kept far back enough that I would only nod, because I had no words to offer them in exchange for their gratitude, the gratitude for the fairies I'd butchered to save them. Then there had been meetings in the frenzied throne room, quick, tense meetings with the High Lords Tamlin was allied with to sort out next steps. Then with Lucian and some Spring Court High Fae who introduced themselves as Tamlin sentries. But every word, every breath was too loud, every smell too strong, the light too bright. Keeping still throughout it all was easier than moving, than adjusting to the strange, strong body that was now mine. I couldn't even touch my hair without the slight difference in my fingers jarring me. On and on, until every newly heightened sense was chafing and raw, and Tamlin at last noticed my dull eyes, my silence, and took my arm.
He escorted me through the labyrinth of tunnels and hallways until we found a quiet bedroom in a distant wing of the court.
Feyre, Tamlin said now, looking up from inspecting my bare leg.
I had been so accustomed to his mask that the handsome face surprised me each time I beheld it. This was what I had murdered those fairies for. Their deaths had not been in vain, and yet, the blood on me had been gone when I'd awoken, as if being an immortal, as if surviving, somehow earned me the right to wash their blood off me.
What is it? I said. My voice was quiet, hollow. I should try to sound more cheerful for him, for what had just happened, but
he gave me that half smile. Had he been human, he might have been in his late 20s. But he wasn't human, and neither was I. I wasn't certain whether that was a happy thought or not. It was one of my smallest concerns. I should be begging for his forgiveness, begging the families and friends of those fairies for their forgiveness. I should be on my knees, weeping with shame for all that I had done.
Feyre, he said again, lowering my leg to stand between my knees.
He caressed my cheek with a knuckle.
How can I ever repay you for what you did?
You don't need to, I said. Let that be that. Let that dark, dank cell fade away, and Amarantha's face forever disappear from my memory. Even if those two dead fairies, even if their faces would never fade for me, if I could ever bring myself to paint again, I would never be able to stop seeing those faces instead of the colors and light. Tamlin held my face in his hands, leaning close, but then released me and grasped my left arm, my tattooed arm. His brows narrowed as he studied the markings.
Feyre,
I don't want to talk about it, I mumbled.
The bargain I had with Recent, another small concern compared to the stain on my soul, the pit inside it. But I didn't doubt I'd see Rhys again soon.
Tamlin's fingers traced the marks of my tattoo.
We'll find a way out of this,
he murmured, and his hand traveled up my arm to rest on my shoulder.
He opened his mouth, and I knew what he would say, the subject he would try to broach.
I couldn't talk about it, about them. Not yet. So I breathed. Later. And hooked my feet around his legs, drawing him closer.
I placed my hands on his chest, feeling the heart beating beneath.
This. I needed this right now.
It wouldn't wash away what I'd done, but I needed him near. Needed to smell and taste him. Remind myself that he was real. This was real.
Later, he echoed,
and leaned down to kiss me. It was soft, tentative, nothing like the wild, hard kisses we'd shared in the hall of the throne room. He brushed his lips against mine again. I didn't want apologies, didn't want sympathy or coddling. I gripped the front of his tunic, tugging him closer as I opened my mouth to him.
He let out a low growl, and the sound of it sent a wildfire blazing through me, pooling and burning in my core. I let it burn through that hole in my chest, my soul. Let it raise through the wave of black that was starting to press around me. Let it consume the phantom blood I could still feel on my hands. I gave myself to that fire, to him, as his hands roved across me, unbuttoning as he went.
I pulled back, breaking the kiss to look into his face. His eyes were bright, hungry, but his hands had stopped their exploring and rested firmly on my hips. With a predator's stillness, he waited and watched as I traced the contours of his face, as I kissed every place I touched.
His ragged breathing was the only sound, and his hands soon began roaming across my back and sides, caressing and teasing and bearing me to him. When my traveling fingers reached his mouth, he bit down on one, sucking it into his mouth. It didn't hurt, but the bite was hard enough for me to meet his eyes again, to realize that he was done waiting, and so was I. He eased me onto the bed, murmuring my name against my neck, the shell of my ear, the tips of my fingers. I urged him faster, harder. His mouth explored a curve of my breast, the inside of my thigh. A kiss for each day we'd spent apart. A kiss for every wound and terror. A kiss for the ink etched into my flesh, and for all the days we would be together after this. Days, perhaps, that I no longer deserved. But I gave myself again to that fire, threw myself into it, into him, and let myself burn. I was pulled from sleep by something tugging at my middle, a thread deep inside. I left Tamlin sleeping in the bed, his body heavy with exhaustion. In a few hours, we would be leaving under the mountain and returning home, and I didn't want to wake him sooner than I had to. I prayed I would ever get to sleep that peacefully again. I knew who summoned me long before I opened the door to the hall and padded down it, stumbling and teetering every now and then as I adjusted to my new body, its new balance and rhythms. I carefully, slowly took a narrow set of stairs upward, up and up, until, to my shock, a trickle of sunlight poured into the stairwell, and I found myself on a small balcony jutting out of the side of the mountain. I hissed against the brightness, shielding my eyes. I'd thought it was the middle of the night. I'd completely lost all sense of time in the darkness of the mountain. Recent chuckled softly from where I could vaguely make him out standing along the stone rail.
I forgot that it's been a while for you.
My eyes stung from the light, and I remained silent until I could look at the view without shooting pain going through my head. A land of violet snow-capped mountains greeted me, but the rock of this mountain was brown and bare. Not even a blade of grass or a crystal of ice gleamed on it. I looked at him finally. His membranous wings were out, tucked behind him, but his hands and feet were normal, no talons in sight. What do you want? It didn't come out with the snap I'd intended, not as I remembered how he'd fought again and again to attack Amarantha, to save me.
Just to say goodbye.
A warm breeze ruffled his hair, brushing tendrils of darkness off his shoulders.
Before your beloved whisks you away forever.
Not forever, I said, wiggling my tattooed fingers for him to see. Don't you get a week every month? Those words thankfully came out frosty. Reese smiled slightly, his wings rustling and then settling.
How could I forget?
I stared at the nose I'd seen bleeding only hours before, the violet eyes that had been so filled with pain. Why? I asked. He knew what I meant and shrugged.
Because when the legends get written, I didn't want to be remembered for standing on the sidelines. I want my future offspring to know that I was there and that I fought against her at the end, even if I couldn't do anything useful.
I blinked, this time not at the brightness of the sun.
Because,
he went on, his eyes locked with mine,
I didn't want you to fight alone or die alone.
And for a moment, I remembered that fairy who had died in our foyer and how I'd told Tamlin the same thing. Thank you, I said, my throat tight.
Rhys flashed a grin that didn't quite reach his